let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God. Singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Sound the trumpet again. Hardly anyone is answering the call to worship. Most of the people are upon Mount Olivet, following Jesus into the city.
You heard me ask the people who that man Jesus is, and you heard their voices relating answers given by prophets of old. Somehow we have to stop all this before the people place Jesus upon the throne of David.
Well, we've been saying this for a long time, but we haven't done anything.
We have tried.
With absolutely no effect. The people won't even listen to us anymore.
But they would listen to the temple police. If only we could get them to do something. Well, perhaps they will. Come, let us find the ranking officer. Greetings, sir, from the elders, priests, and rulers of Jerusalem.
Greetings.
You are the ranking officer of the temple police?
I am. What can I do for you?
The people. They're making a lot of noise.
They seem to love the man riding the young colt.
They do. In fact, he is leading them in rebellion against Israel and Rome. He is about to take possession of the temple and crown himself king of Judea.
We can't do that.
He will, unless you and your men stop him.
We will. Detail, fall in behind me, and we'll stop this immediately. Detail! Halt! Art thou he who thinks to overthrow the temple service and establish thyself upon the throne of David?
I am not come to establish an earthly kingdom, but to save the lost sheep into an everlasting kingdom. Soon I shall ascend to my Father, and mine accusers shall see me no more until I shall come again in glory. Then, too late for salvation, shall all people acknowledge me and bow down and worship me.
What does he mean by that? Never man spake as he. In his calm, solemn face I see love, benevolence, quiet dignity. Ah, you elders and rulers, it's you who started this disturbance. I should arrest you, all of you. Detail, follow me.
He blamed us.
It is your fault. You insisted upon involving the temple police.
Well, someone has to do something. We can't just stand here and let the people proclaim Jesus their king.
Come, my disciples. We will steal away while the multitude are busy with their arguments. We shall visit the temple, then go to Bethany for the night. In the morning, we shall come again to the temple. I am an hungered.
I see a fig orchard yonder, Master.
But the time of the figs is not yet.
But one tree already has leaves, many of them.
Then it should have figs upon it, for the fruit appears before the full matured leaves.
We shall go and eat of its fruits.
Oh, the tree is deceptive, Lord. From the lowest to the topmost branches, there is nothing but leaves. No fruit it beareth.
No man shall eat of the fruit of this tree hereafter forever.
Let the others go ahead a little way, Peter. I wish to speak with thee.
Now, John, my young friend, what is it I can do for thee?
The Master, cursing the fig tree is so unlike him. Often has he said that he came not to destroy, but to save. He restores, he never destroys. He loves, never condemns. He is the great healer, the savior. The act of cursing the fruitless fig tree stands alone in his long ministry. Why did he do it? What was his purpose?
Well, it puzzles me too, John. We shall just have to wait. Someday we may know and understand.
Again we passed the fig orchard, and that fig tree. Only yesterday morning it flourished with leaves, Peter. Now it is withered.
I expected it. Thinking it over since yesterday morning, I think the Master gave us a living parable. The barren tree is likened to those who profess and appear to have righteousness, but bear no fruit unto eternal life. Our own Israelite religion, with its magnificent temple, its sacred altars, its mitred priests and impressive ceremonies, is fair in outward appearance, but the fruits of the true worship, humility, love, benevolence, are lacking.
Like the fig tree, no fruit shall it bear, and no man shall gain from it eternal life.
Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedst is already withered away.
Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible and Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Thank you, Lord, for Welcome to Live with Sam. I'm Sam, talking today with Abram, the smartest boy in our school. He gets an A in everything.
That's not exactly accurate. I got a B plus once.
Really? In what?
I don't want to talk about it. The pain is still too fresh.
Okay, let's talk about health. I noticed that you do a lot of walking and jogging and bicycle riding. May I ask why?
When you have a brain like mine, you've got to keep it in perfect working order. That requires a combination of good food, sound sleep, mental stimulation, and daily exercise.
So, to be smart, you have to be healthy?
Precisely.
So, what do you do to take care of your brain?
I'm glad you asked that question, Sam. First, I care for my body with nutritious meals centered on a whole food, plant-based diet. I refrain from imbibing sugary snacks and highly refined packaged edibles. Next, I stimulate my brain by reading the great words of skilled authors and listening to classical and cultural music selections from around the world. And finally, I succumb to a daily regimen of physical activity that requires a certain degree of exertion. I also floss.
Well, it sounds like you're very serious about your health.
Absolutely. To do otherwise would be, if I may use a grossly overused adjective, totally dumb.
Thank you, Abram, the smartest boy in school. I'm Sam with Live with Sam. Goodbye.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14 say, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well."
If you're on your way to heaven, clap your hands. If your sins are all forgiven, clap your hands. Point to heaven in the sky, then shake hands with one nearby. If the Lord can satisfy, clap your hands. Clap your hands, clap your hands. If you're glad that you're a Christian, clap your hands. If you're on your way to heaven, clap your hands. If your sins are all forgiven, clap your hands. Point to heaven in the sky, then shake hands with one nearby. If the Lord can satisfy, clap your hands. Clap your hands. Clap your hands. If you're glad that you're a Christian, clap your hands.
This is my Father's world. in the basement. It had been a hard day. Ever since early morning, men had been moving furniture into the house, and by mid-afternoon, when they were through, Mother was exhausted. She lifted a couple of boxes from an easy chair and flopped down into it. Rosie got in from school about then, and she wasn't tired at all. This was the first time she'd really had a chance to explore the new house, and she meant to get thoroughly acquainted with every detail. Down in the basement, something caught her eye. She ran up to tell Mother about it. "It's a big barrel," she said, "and it doesn't look like anything we ever owned." "I noticed it this morning," Mother said. "Must be something the folks who used to live here left behind." "What's inside it?" Rosie asked. "Oh, I don't know. They'll probably come for it one of these days. Now please explore somewhere else and let me rest." In a few days, Mother had the house straightened up, but no letter came asking about the barrel in the basement. Months went by. Spring arrived. Rosie put on a light jacket she hadn't worn since last year and asked Mother how it looked. Mother gasped, "Moths!" The jacket had been badly damaged. Mother and Rosie went through the other clothes in the closet. Almost everything with wool in it had been attacked. Mother threw them away. "We must get rid of the moths," she said. The next day, she took a light wool skirt from her own closet. It, too, had been damaged by moths, and there were signs of moths all through her chest of drawers. "This is going to be very expensive," she exclaimed. "We must find where the moths are coming from and destroy them." Rosie killed 3 moths in her bedroom that evening, and Father killed one the next morning before leaving for work. Baby Brother found a likely source for the moths a couple of days later. He pulled the cushions off the sofa to make a fort, and Mother saw at least a dozen little moth worms eating the upholstery. She told Brother not to play fort and showed the moths to Father as soon as he came home. Next day, men came and took all the upholstered furniture and refinished it. It cost hundreds of dollars. And still there were moths. Mother worried. The family didn't have enough money for all these new things. The moths must go. She went to the basement to get some canned fruit for supper. There was that old barrel. Strange that the owners had never sent for it. She would have to throw it away one of these days. And right then, while she was watching, a moth flew off the barrel. Mother called, "Daddy, come quick!" She had the axe ready when Daddy reached the bottom step. "Open that barrel," she said. Daddy whacked the top of the barrel with the sharp edge of the axe, and the lid split in two. Out flew thousands of moths. The owners had packed a wool suit in the barrel before they left, and moths had been breeding there ever since. Out of the house went the barrel, and out of the house went the moths. It doesn't do any good to try to change our habits when there is sin in the basement of our hearts. If you know there is something wrong there, confess it. Clean it out. Then let Jesus make you into a new person.
The story you've heard today was first published as part of the Vacation Bible School program in the book God's World by the Review and Herald Publishing Association and the General Conference Sabbath School Department. If you are interested in any other products published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.